From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made several weeks ago in Rochester's Village Gate. There are a number of bars and restaurants in Village Gate, and as you might imagine, they're worried about surviving the pandemic winter. Across the country, thousands of restaurants have already closed, many permanently. The federal government has so far decided not to offer a kind of pandemic relief or bailout for targeted small businesses. So in the Village Gate, there was a meeting. County legislator Rachel Barnhart had called the county executive, Adam Bellow. The county executive was joined by his director of planning and development, and they met with a number of small business owners to listen. From that meeting, an idea emerged using CARES funds from the federal government, roughly $15 million. Maybe Monroe County could direct money to these kinds of small businesses, a survive the winter fund, perhaps. But as county leaders kept talking, they decided not to limit the help to just bars and restaurants. Yesterday, they officially unveiled the plan, a new fund to help small businesses with between 2 and 50 employees. We could yet see the federal government offer a kind of small business bailout, maybe targeted by industry, maybe not. But for now, that work is happening on the local level using federal funds. So this hour, if you're wondering, are you eligible? Maybe you're wondering if someone you know who runs a small business might be eligible for this money. You might be wondering how much can help you get through the coming months here. All of the questions you may have, we're going to try to answer. It's your chance to do that with our guest this hour. Rachel Barnhart is the Monroe County legislator who got this ball rolling. Rachel, thanks for joining us. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for doing this, because we have a deadline of November 2nd for businesses to apply, so we've got to get the word out. Thank you so much.
You got it. Anna Liss is Director of Planning and Development for Monroe County. Anna, thanks for making time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And Kristen Flores-Fratto is the owner of the Gatehouse in Village Gate. Kristen, thanks for making time for the program.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Listeners, 844-295-TALK is the number to call if you've got questions about whether your business, your company, is eligible or not, how to apply, what it entails. 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester, 263-9994, or you can email the program connections at WXXI.org. Rachel, I tried to tell a little bit of the story, but really kind of take me back a few weeks. Tell me how this came together.
Sure. I have a lot of friends in the service industry, both working as servers, working in the kitchen, and also owners of establishments. And throughout the pandemic, I've been very concerned about how they're doing. I know Kristen, I consider her a friend. I go to Village Gate all the time. And I had been periodically asking her through Facebook messages, you know, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? And it became clear as we were approaching the colder months that there was a real problem. We know that it's safer to dine outside. We know that many people are wary of dining inside. And we also know that restaurants have to reduce their capacity. And the restaurants that I have gone to during the pandemic, since dining has been reopened, have been doing a great job. They are following the protocols to keep us safe. But it's very clear that they're struggling, barely making ends meet. And I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal saying that chain restaurants were poised to survive and even thrive. They have the capital to adapt. They have rainy day funds, and they're large enough to withstand this. But the independent restaurants are getting crushed, and we could lose so many of them. Rochester was just named one of the top foodie cities because we have so many independent restaurants per capita. And we could lose many of these local treasures. So what I did was I invited Anna Liss and Deputy County Executive Jeff McCann to go to Village Gate, sit with some restaurants, and the county executive showed up, and I was thrilled that he took the time to meet with us. We spent an hour really just listening to a number of restaurants there, Lento, Palizzi's, Salinas, to find out, okay, what are your needs right now? Many restaurants, and in fact, there was a proposal in Erie County, and I know the Onondaga County Executive is considering this, to spend money to help restaurants buy outside equipment, which, by the way, is hard to find right now. They're all on back order. Anything from heaters to tents to even those igloos that everyone really enjoyed during the Rock Holiday Village. And so we left the conversation where the county knew it had some CARES funding, and they have to spend that money, I believe, by the end of the year. Anna can go into it more. But we have funds, and we left thinking, okay, maybe we can come up with some kind of grant program for restaurants. Well, we found out yesterday that the county had a much bigger plan in mind to help all small businesses with $15 million, and there is an application process. Preference will be given to women and minority-owned businesses and businesses in distressed zip codes. So I'm thrilled that the county acted very, very quickly here and recognized the need.
Anna, let's talk about your perspective on how quickly this came together and how it's going to work here. I'm looking at $15 million. If the average, boy, I'm not good at math, I'm going to try. If the average grant ends up being $15,000, you can help 1,000 small businesses, I think. And let's just kind of talk about how you're going to make those decisions, because what we saw on the federal level in the spring with the CARES Act, with SBA and PPP, was the first round ran out pretty quickly. I don't know if you've already sort of made an estimate for how many applications you expect to get. Take me through the thought process and how you're structuring this.
Sure, Evan, that's a great point. Right now in our system, we have approximately 800 plus applications in the works, and several have already been submitted. So, you know, Rachel mentioned earlier the deadline is November 2nd. So I'd encourage your listeners, those who qualify or who may qualify, to hop on. It's MonroeCounty.gov/fastforwardMonroe for directions on how to apply and the link to the application.
You have 800 applicants already?
Already in the works, yes. Because of, you know, the media coverage. And that doesn't mean that all of those applications will qualify. We have some instances where business owners are applying and they're not in an eligible industry sector, or they're indicating that they have not been impacted by COVID, but the requirement is that you have to furnish us with a statement of need and some evidence as to how you've been hit by the pandemic in terms of your finances. And I also wanted to clarify earlier, you mentioned between two full-time equivalent and 50 full-time equivalent. And I know that the county executive mentioned this yesterday, but in fact, it's sole proprietors with no employees and businesses with up to two full-time employees can receive a maximum grant amount of $10,000. So we have a lot of sole proprietorships in our community, and we feel that this will meet an important need. The loan program that we established earlier on during COVID was not applicable to sole proprietorships, so we feel that this will be beneficial for them. And I also want to clarify that we're focused on personal service industry sectors. So if you are an architect or an accountant or a financial planner and thus a service provider, you would not qualify. However, if you operate a nail salon or own a restaurant, or you operate a retail-like business where you're directly interfacing with clientele and customers, you qualify. The CARES Act money is strictly governed by the federal government. We are required to spend it in very specific manners, and we are going to be asking applicants to provide us with evidence as to how they're spending the money so that we can be in compliance with the federal government.
Okay. Up to $20,000, that's the maximum. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Companies with 3 to 25 FTEs can receive a maximum grant amount of $15,000, and companies with 26 to 50 can receive a maximum of $20,000.
Let's say I've got 48 employees, I qualify, I haven't received any other aid, and you know, I'm asking for the $20,000, and you say that my company is going to be awarded with it. Is it a one-time check for $20,000 out the door pretty quickly? How's that going to work?
Yes. So Rachel mentioned earlier that we are granting priority status to minority and women-owned business enterprises and firms located in distressed census tracts. And so what we're doing is we're opening this application window for a period of 2 weeks, ending on November 2nd. And on November 2nd, we will commence the extensive application review process and create a rank order of qualified applications. And so beginning on November 2nd, those checks will begin going out electronically to the eligible grant awardees.
All right.
But it'll probably take a matter of, you know, approximately 3 weeks, I think, for us to get through all $15 million because the action of, you know, cutting the checks is moving through the Monroe County Department of Finance. So there's a little bit of a process here.
Who is going to be reviewing these hundreds upon hundreds of applications?
We have a dedicated staff here in planning and development, as well as a couple of folks over in the Department of Finance, of approximately 10 people that will be dedicating full time to the process. And then we also are relying on donated volunteer staff support from Greater Rochester Enterprise and the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce.
I'm going to ask Kristen about this in a moment, but Anna, I also want to ask you if that range of possible grants for small businesses and sole proprietors from $10,000 to $20,000, is that enough to help a business? I don't know. I've been thinking of it as sort of a winter survival, but I mean, it's really maybe a survival right now. Is that enough in the way that you've talked to businesses? Does that convince you that money could be the difference between survival and not survival? I mean, why did you set those parameters?
We set those parameters because there's a limited amount of money and there's an unlimited amount of need in the community. The short answer to your question, Evan, is no. It's not enough. Rachel can speak to this, but I know the owner of Selena's just spent $10,000 extending their gas line out to their patio mm-hmm. so they can keep heat pumping out into the outdoor dining area. And that's $10,000 right out the gate. So, the short answer is no. This is probably this isn't a panacea. This isn't a silver bullet. There will be small business casualties as a result of the pandemic, even despite this stimulus. We're just trying to do what we can do at this time, given the time constraints of how quickly we need to spend our CARES Act money.
All right. Before I talk to Kristen about her story as the owner of the Gatehouse, a couple of housekeeping notes here. Again, the deadline that they have here for receiving these applications is November 2nd. It's not far away. Anna, where online can people go to find the application?
It is www.monroecounty.gov/fastforwardmonroe. And we are also right now working on a development of a Spanish language version that will be ready tomorrow.
All right. Listeners, if you've got questions about eligibility, how it's going to be determined, who gets the money, and how they're going to make these decisions, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections at WXXI.org. Will this help you? We're wondering, and maybe you're wondering. Kristen Flores-Fratto is the owner of the Gatehouse. Take me through maybe the last few weeks as well here, your experience, and you know, were you at that initial conversation with county leaders a few weeks ago?
I was at that meeting. Rachel put that together. My husband and I attended with a couple other the Village Gate restaurant owners. And, you know, it was an opportunity for us to share our stories and our current struggles, which seem to be changing every week. You know, we all have individual cases, different business models, but generally the same problem, which is lack of funding. That is the issue that we're facing. Most of us have received some sort of federal funding, whether it's PPP or SBA, early on, and that definitely got us through the early months of the pandemic. But most of us have utilized that money. It is gone, especially with the rules that were attached to them. You know, PPP needed to be used immediately. And we are now out of that, and we're in a position where our patios are closing. We are losing many tables outside. My place has 13 tables that we're about to lose. And there are restrictions at the bar. So on top of losing seating and having a 50% indoor capacity, we're also lacking in alcohol sales, which is really where we make our profit. So you put all of those things together, and we're hurting. We're hurting really badly. I actually just submitted my application, and we have determined that we have lost $760,000 in revenue since March. And that is money that pays my employees' health insurance. It keeps my lights on. It pays my rent. I mean, you can imagine the expenses that we have. So now we're sort of back to square one. I'm feeling like we're where we were right after shutdown, where there is no more money. There is very little money trickling in. We saw it this week with the change in the weather. I will say we had a pretty good August because of all the outdoor seating, and it has now just come to a screeching halt. And the anxiety is growing. And this grant money will be incredibly helpful. It's not a silver bullet. It's not a permanent solution. But the hope is that it will tide us over for the next couple of months and help us to put the things in place that we need to extend that outdoor dining. We're working on getting a tent out there, a heated tent, where now our 50% indoor capacity can be spread out, and we'll have a few more tables outside that will help. Ultimately, what we really need is for the gridlock in Washington to end and for more PPP money to come our way. That is the most important thing. But this will hold us over.
Okay. It looks like it's about an average of about $100,000 a month in revenue that you've been losing throughout this, and it sounds like it could get worse in the winter. Realistically, Kristen, for you and your colleagues in that industry who own restaurants, how much do you think Rochesterians are going to tough it out, wear winter coats, sit outside, sit close to heaters, and dine out, you know, well into the fall and even into the winter?
I think we will see people bringing blankets. You know, there is a bring your own blanket movement that we've been trying to push, and we see people doing that. Yeah, I think we will see that through the holidays, through December, as long as the weather is relatively mild. January and February, when the Arctic weather comes in, you know, unless there is a completely heated structure out there, I just don't see people sitting in that kind of weather. I mean, besides their cold themselves, your hot food is instantly cold the second it's put down. So, I mean, we'll have to see. I am hoping we can do something through Christmas. You know, those are good months for every restaurant, profitable months. We staff up, we hire extra people. We don't want to lose that. So there is a lot of anxiety around how we salvage the very important month of December, especially, you know, for the Village Gate restaurants. We get heavy traffic from shows at the RBTL. We don't have those this year either. So there's sort of all of these different things coming at us. We're missing out on all different areas between the shows, the bar crowd. There's a lot of things going on. If we could just have some outdoor seating through the holidays, I think that would help immensely.
Yeah, I picked up a little takeout from Avino the other day, and I poked my head in their big canvas tent with the heaters.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe how warm it was in there. Now, I mean, there were still people wearing pretty heavy clothing sitting outside, but it was comfortable enough. I think people hear tent and they think tent. It was actually pretty warm and pretty well covered. I am all for creativity. I am all for green lighting anything that will give people the chance to keep going out, to keep supporting businesses. But I take your point, Kristen, that eventually, you know, if it's 9 degrees outside, it's going to be hard to convince anybody to sit anywhere with that. So so the $20,000, how many employees do you have, Kristen?
We have 38 employees right now. Yeah. We would normally have about 52.
Okay. So $20,000, you know, realistically, though, how much of a patch can that really be for a restaurant of your size?
Well, we just got a quote for a tent, which is going to be about $3,000 to get us through until the end of the year, I believe. So that will pay for that. And the tent then will help us pay for other things. So there's that. The other problem is that because of our business model, and we have not raised prices, we've resisted that, we will still be taking a loss every week. So just to help with payroll, I mean, that is the biggest help right there. That is our biggest expense. We want to keep our employees working. And we have to make payroll every week. And I think for us, anyway, that is where the cushion is going to come in. You know, there's some leniency when it comes to rent payments. I think RG&E can't shut our power off. We have some flexibility with those, but we don't want to let people go because we need to cut our staff down. So for at least for my place, it will be assisting with payroll, with keeping people on payroll, and with paying their benefits through these difficult months.
All right. We're talking about Monroe County's brand new Fast Forward Monroe. It's monroecounty.gov/Fast Forward Monroe. If you are a small business and you want to apply for this program, this grant program, you've got until November 2nd, and they can help maybe up to 1,000 small businesses, but there's a lot of processing they've got to do of those apps, and they've got a November 2nd deadline. And then let me start working through some listener questions here. First of all, here's a note via Twitter from your colleague, Rachel, from Steve Brew. And Steve says the following. He says, this administration was provided a $129 million grant in April. One of the permitted uses of that grant is support for local businesses. Other counties have been providing support for months. What took so long? Many businesses have folded or are on the brink. That's from Republican leader Steve Brew of the legislature. I'll start with Rachel on that. What would you say to that, Rachel?
Sure. I think his point is well taken. However, we do get reports on CARES funding. The county has been very transparent in how it is spending the $129 million it received. If you look at how the county has spent those funds, it's been spent on equipment, medical supplies, cleaning, staffing, a whole lot of things directly related to the pandemic. Now, of course, relief for businesses is also related to the pandemic, but there's only a certain amount of money. So I understand why the county wanted to make sure as we approach the end of the year that it didn't have other needs first. So I'm okay with doing this right now. I think it makes sense. And I think that they could have come up with their own plan if this was a concern and we didn't see a plan from them before now.
Yeah, I would say to Legislator Brew, this is not a partisan set of comments or questions I would have for Legislator Brew, but at the same time, we need to be approaching this pandemic in a way that is direct and as nonpartisan as possible when we're in a crisis here. I've talked to colleagues in plenty of other cities. There are plenty of cities where there's been almost no help for small businesses beyond what the CARES Act initially provided on the federal level. Right now, we're seeing Washington still gridlocked over the next round of relief. And Mitch McConnell is signaling some changing ideas about whether he's even open to anything before the election or even before the end of the year. The president has changed his call on that several times. Nancy Pelosi has said she's not satisfied with the deal that has at least been discussed. So we don't see a deal on the federal level right now. Meanwhile, remember back in April, I would say this to Steve Brew. Back in April, there was talk about whether every county in the country was going to need to be buying its own ventilators because of a lack of a federally coordinated plan, of building new hospital space, of all kinds of things. When we got into the summer, we got at least into a kind of a flow with businesses being more open and outside, with people seeing lower transmission rates in this county. I mean, it's kind of logical to me why we're sitting here in the fall now saying, well, what are we going to do now? Everybody wants to jump in on that.
Legislator Brew is incorrect. Monroe County was the first county in the state of New York. We dipped into our own pockets to establish a $2 million zero interest, $10,000 small business loan program, not using taxpayer dollars, using program revenues from Comita and MCIDC. So we didn't even use CARES Act dollars out of the gate, and we launched that program in March. So I'll just say that.
Okay. I remember that conversation.
And I would have a couple other points. And a big point here is this money has to be spent by the end of the year. So that's the other reason why, this is the right time to do this. And another point that I would make is, I do think there has to be transparency in how these funds are distributed. Anna has said, listen, we're going to have a ranking system. You know, I would love to see a report once this is once the awardees have been chosen. And let's see what the metrics are here. I think that's very important for transparency because it's clear that not everyone is going to qualify for the grant.
Well, and we're going to talk about that after our only break of the hour. I've got listener questions queued up, and we can take some phone calls if you want in our second half. half hour. If you've emailed the program, connections@wxxi.org, we'll work in some of that as well with Rachel Barnhart, a Monroe County legislator, Anna Liss, Director of Planning and Development for Monroe County, Kristen Flores-Fratto, owner of the Gatehouse. And again, I'll say to Steve Brew, who I would welcome on this program anytime. I'm just not really sort of in the moment wanting to make this a partisan sort of back and forth. We're talking about businesses that may have to close here. And at the end, yeah, it's good to account for what decisions were made and how much money was spent, et cetera. But this is a very different scenario here in October than it was in April. That should be obvious. And now the question is, what is government at all levels going to be doing to make sure we don't see mass closure in the winter? That's what we're talking about, and we'll get right back to it after our only break. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, we continue our discussions with candidates for office, including judicial candidates. We'll hear from candidates for county court judge, including Meredith Vaca and Derek Harnsberger. They'll talk about their work and why they're seeking to join the bench. Then in our second hour, the latest in breast cancer screening, research, and treatment. We hear from local doctors and a breast cancer patient. Talk with you Friday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We heard from Charles, who is the owner of Rochester Parkour, who says this is exactly the kind of assistance Monroe County small businesses need right now. Thank you so much for this. We are finalizing our application. And that's from Charles at Rochester Parkour. I think he's got 7 employees. I don't know if sort of a fitness-oriented place like Rochester Parkour would be on a list of eligibility. On a list, what do we know about that?
They would be eligible, yes.
Okay.
Depending on, if they have less than 50 full-time equivalent employees, which I would imagine that they do. And it's, parkour, this is a physical activity. This is, it's an in-person service. It's technically retail. So, yes, absolutely all day long. All he has to do is jump on our application portal and fill out the necessary information.
Okay. Kyle writes to say the entire grooming industry seems to be out on this one.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
No, the grooming industry is eligible.
Okay.
Can I add something to that?
Please.
I have heard that too from salon owner friends, that they are finding that they are ineligible because most of them do not have W-2 employees. They have a different system of paying their people as contractors or something. So yes, I have heard that too from now 2 salon owners.
Thank you. That's a good feedback. We've gotten a number of phone calls today about it after yesterday's announcement. So sole proprietorships do not have what's called a New York State 45 form. Those are for companies with employees. So what we're asking is for companies to submit either that or a like document that provides proof or indication that you are an established business and you are, you have maybe a contractual relationship with a service provider or an employee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a point of clarification that's important for, I think, your listeners, Evan, and I appreciate that insight.
Okay. Different Kyle wants to know if freelancers are eligible for any help here.
If the freelancer is established as an LLC or a DBA, if the freelancer, is paying taxes on behalf of his or her business, then yes, all day long.
Okay. And let's see here. Let me scroll here. Kristen wants to know, is this a loan or a grant?
It is a grant.
All right. That means money in and you don't have to send it back. Simple as that, Anna?
That's right. Yeah. And this is a direct result of Adam Bellow, our county executive, had us execute a survey early on, after we did our loan program, asking businesses, what else do you need? What can we do? What are your challenges? Everybody said, we need money and we don't want any strings attached. We want a grant. We don't want a loan. And that's where this originated, especially. And what added some velocity was Rachel's initiation of a connection with the restaurant owners at Village Gate.
Okay, Don says, I'm no lawyer, but it seemed to me that the government's not allowed to discriminate based on race or gender. Can you have someone explain how this program squares with prioritizing minority and women-owned businesses for this particular program?
Research at UC Santa Cruz out in July said that 41% of Black-owned businesses, some 440,000 enterprises were shuttered by COVID-19 compared to just 17% of white-owned businesses. And that was from the period, you know, of the initiation of COVID through July. So you can imagine it's only gotten worse. We're talking about a disenfranchised population that already was struggling even before the pandemic. So I don't think anybody could argue with the fact that MWBEs and small businesses in low-income census tracts should take priority. They're disproportionately impacted. Everybody knows that.
Okay. And Anna, the argument back to Don is that it is technically then legal for you to set that, to set your own sort of criteria in that way?
It is legal. I mean, you know, even at the state level, Governor Cuomo has established that approximately 30% of all state contracts should be handed to MWBEs. This is 100% legal and appropriate.
Rachel Barnhart, can you weigh in on that? Rachel, can you weigh in on that as well?
Yes. In fact, I just called up the Democrat and Chronicle's reporting on the COVID impact in Rochester and Monroe County. And if you look at the county's map of cases, it very closely correlates with our most high needs zip codes and areas in the county. And in fact, I even did a story saying that it corresponds with the old redlining maps of disinvestment in the community. So this program actually levels the playing field. It's the opposite of discrimination. This pandemic has disproportionately impacted our communities of color. And if this program helps small businesses stay afloat and helps families, I have no problem with it. And I look forward to seeing how the county does its ranking. And I look forward to seeing the list of recipients and how they're able to use these funds.
Well, before I get back to some phone calls, just a note on some of the applications that have already come in. Anna List, as the Director of Planning and Development for Monroe County, have you gotten a look at some of the applications? I mean, are you getting a sense for any common threads in the kinds of businesses that are asking for this help?
Yeah, I got a stack of them on my desk right now that we believe will qualify, and I commend the small business owners for getting right on it and being comprehensive. I know that there is some red tape attached here where we ask you for some documentation, and that can be challenging. The common thread that we're seeing right now is hospitality industry, restaurants, and then some smaller retail operations. We have had some ineligible applications come through from financial planning operation and some other kind of at-home professional services-based businesses. But yes, we're seeing primarily small micro-enterprise restaurant applications coming through.
Okay. Do you have a sense for, I mean, a guess at what percentage that's come in that you think are going to be approved?
I'm going to venture a guess because it's, you know, we're only the application's been open for, you know, just a little over 24 hours now. I'm going to venture a guess that probably around 60% of the applications that we've gotten thus far are green light.
So if you get to the point on November 2nd where, you know, you go through whatever the stack is and you've got money in that $15 million left over, would you increase the amount of the grants that you're sending out, or are you pretty confident that you will have enough applicants to fill this out, to fill the $15 million?
So the answer is yes, we would. We're spending every single red cent of this money because if we don't spend it, we don't get it. Mm-hmm. The federal government has mandated that, you know, you have to allocate the funds or you don't receive the funds. So, and then we also have not yet ready for primetime commitment to throw potentially more funds into this effort based on need. So stay tuned for that. We're guessing that we're going to be flooded. I mean, like I said earlier, we've received, we have over 800 working applications right now underway. And to your point, you know, we could potentially touch, you know, 1,000, maybe 1,500 businesses with the $15 million based on the parameters. And that's a drop in the bucket. We got a lot more than 1,500 businesses in Monroe County.
All right. Let me get Steve in Rochester on the phone next. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi. Good afternoon. I'm a shareholder or stockholder in a small gallery, which is a corporation. And we had a very significant impact from COVID, obviously. My question is, the shareholders actually do all the work, so we have no employees. So on the form, there's an opening for a form that needs to be sent in listing the employees. We have none. So therefore, what do? Or does that invalidate us for a grant?
That does not invalidate you, sir, and I apologize for the confusion. Firms that have zero employees, of course, do not have to submit a New York State 45 document. So you just submit another like document. And we did clarify, I think, the frequently asked questions this morning based on calls that we received from businesses about this very topic. We clarified to say a New York State 45 or a related document indicating that you are an established corporation and, you know, you provide us with a brief financial statement. So you do qualify for that up to $10,000 grant.
That's great. And that information is available on your website?
It is, yeah, monroecounty.gov/fastforwardmonroe. And you can also feel free to shoot me an email at any time. I'm at on a list at monroecounty.gov.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the answer.
Of course.
Steve, good luck to you. Thanks very much. It's 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections@WXXI.org. Colin wants to know, he said he already got some SBA help. Does that make him ineligible for this, Annalise?
No, Evan, if you've received PPP, if you got a loan from Monroe County early on in the pandemic, you still qualify for this grant program. So that's great news for businesses.
Okay.
And that was a direct result of some feedback I got actually from Kristen, because Kristen, and she can speak to this, she got PPP funds early on, you know, and didn't anticipate at that point in time how long this crisis was actually going to extend. Mm-hmm. And so she spent the money and then realized she should have spent it on different things, different expenses after the fact. So that's the reason why we said this is open to everybody.
Is there anything that disqualifies for this then, Anna?
If you are a professional services firm, and also if you provide us with an indicate, we're asking for some financial information. If you indicate that you have not been financially impacted by the crisis, then you don't qualify. And also, we're asking for Monroe County property tax information. So if you're not current on your property taxes, then you don't qualify.
All right. Let me ask Kristen Flores-Fratto, then owner of the Gatehouse, more about that. Take me back to the spring when there was all that talk about businesses lining up to try to get SBA, PPP help. What was your thought about how far that was going to go and what likely you would need this year versus how it's turned out?
Yeah, the PPP was tricky for us. Because we applied, I think I applied for that the day that we were shut down. I applied before they had put the new streamlined process in place. And I received that money very quickly. I actually received PPP before we were allowed to reopen even the patio. So one, I didn't take the full amount that I was approved for because I had 6 or 8 weeks to use it all and didn't feel like I could do that in that time period. In retrospect, I wish I had taken it all because the rules were then changed and the time was extended. And then I found myself bringing employees back and paying them to basically clean and do things for us around the restaurant, but not do their normal jobs. I would have liked to have held on to that until we were allowed to open and then used it normally for payroll. And I understand that the purpose was to get people off unemployment, and we certainly did that. So in that sense, we helped New York State, but it didn't really help the business. You know what I mean? And SBA money, again, I did not fully take what I was approved for, thinking that I did not want to come out of this crisis so deeply in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had made a different decision at that point too, because now I'm going back to SBA saying, listen, I, you know, there's a lot of money that I didn't take. Can I please have it? And they are completely non-responsive.
Non-responsive?
Non-responsive. I can't get them to answer an email. I call them on the phone. They are completely unhelpful. You know, I feel like I was approved for this amount of money. Maybe they don't have it now. I think that's the case with PPP, that money has run out. I don't know if that's the case with SBA, but I'm having trouble accessing that money again, and I'm having trouble having them communicate with me.
They're not saying yes or no. They're saying nothing at all.
Exactly.
That is unbelievable. Now, I know that there is a lot of small business pain and probably a backlog of communication work that has to be done. But my goodness, we're in a crisis here. It should be unacceptable that small businesses can't even get an answer on small business help.
It's a really big problem.
Wow. So, Kristen, let me also ask you then about sometimes we throw around terms, and I'm guilty of this, too, and I want you to help me a little bit with this. Chris Hayes from MSNBC has been talking a lot about this, among many others. Been saying that we're not going to survive as an economy through this winter into the spring if we don't see basically a bars and restaurant bailout. That's what he's been saying for months now. I think that there's probably a lot of reason to believe that that's true, especially in the Northeast, especially in the northern part of the country. But at the same time, we use that term, a restaurant bailout, as if like sort of the people who don't own bars or restaurants know what that means. I wouldn't even really know what that would mean functionally. So what would that look like? How does that hit your ears when you hear bar and restaurant bailout? We've got to do it. The federal government's got to do it. What does that actually mean? Does that mean replacing all revenue loss? Does that mean saying Gatehouse and everybody else, you got to shut down, close, but we'll give you 75% of your average annual revenue? I mean, like, what's a bailout look like to you?
Yeah, I don't know what they're referring to when they're talking about a restaurant-specific bailout. I've heard that term, and I have assumed that what they're talking about is just more PPP. That was utilized well by most restaurants, and that's what we're all waiting for right now. If there's something else that they're developing that is aimed specifically at restaurants and bars, I'm not clear on what that is.
Can I address that actually, Adam?
Yeah.
I'm familiar with what you're talking about. I noticed the same tweet from Chris Hayes. I think it was last week. So what he's indicating is that he's spoken with a bunch of epidemiologists and medical experts, and he's saying that a silver bullet here would be identify what is the operating costs that the restaurants and bars need between now and whenever we get a vaccine, and provide them with all of that money in exchange for them completely shutting their doors for that period of time. So you don't lose any revenue, but you're not open because you've been bailed out. And I see the point, you know, like people are congregating in bars and, you know, spreading the virus, and it's a problem. But you know, I don't see that being like a widely adopted or popular solution.
Okay. Kristen, you agree?
I mean, if that was necessary for public health, it makes sense to us. And I have heard that before, asking us to close but supporting us through that. I guess I would need some more details. You know, would we be allowed to open for takeout, or does that mean fully closing with no revenue at all?
This is not a formal proposal. This is just, you know, a journalist who's a very adept and intelligent person who's spoken with a lot of experts who's saying this is the solution that's workable. No information about like would takeout be allowed, et cetera. It's just a twinkle in some folks' eyes at this point.
All right.
Well, it makes sense to me. It would be really helpful.
Well, and I'm laughing just because it seems obvious. I mean, I take the point, Kristen. I mean, this is not a case where the Gatehouse or Lento or anybody else in restaurants or bars are struggling because you made bad decisions. I mean, this is when the government says you've got to close or you can only have 25 or 50% capacity, good luck surviving for a long time. And without significant help, I don't know how that happens on the other side of this. Let me get a little bit more from listeners. Jennifer writes, this is a short message. I'll kick this over to Anna. Jennifer says, what about franchise owners? Anna?
Yes. So as long as you don't own more than five franchises in Monroe County, you qualify. If you own over more than five franchises, then you are ineligible.
Okay.
Like locations of the same business. Yeah.
Sure, got it. Jennifer, thanks. I appreciate that. And before I get Andrew's question via email, just on that subject of franchises, Kristen, when we talked to a couple of guys from Manhattan who put up a little pop-up on Cayuga Lake this summer, they view the landscape down in Manhattan as sort of the canary in the coal mine for the rest of the country. They're already seeing independent and one-off, small business restaurants closing, chains, mm-hmm. chains staying open. And mm-hmm. they said that the warning for everybody is we are going to become the United States of chains if we don't, really address especially individual, independent, single restaurants and bars. Do you see that as well, Kristen?
Absolutely. My heart bleeds for the restaurants in the city. They are at 25% capacity, which we're taking a loss at 50% seating capacity. 25%, it's just not possible. Unless your formula involves a heavy amount of takeout, which not everyone does, fine dining, it's just not a takeout type of thing. I think that is probably what's going to happen. And my brother lives in Manhattan. He says it is a ghost town. His favorite places that have been open for years, if not decades, are shuttered. And it's heartbreaking. And I know that as Rachel said, the chains have a support system that we don't have. And that is a big fear that's what's going to happen. They're going to take over. And in New York, of all places.
Yeah. Anna, you want to jump back in?
Well, Evan,
yeah.
No, it was Rachel.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's get Rachel and then Anna. Go ahead, Rachel.
Yeah, I just wanted to briefly say, too, that I have been eating out since dining has reopened. And the one point that I think, I would hate to end the show without making is that the restaurants I have visited in our community have been doing a wonderful job. I feel safe. Obviously, people have to make their own decisions based on their own circumstances and what they are comfortable with. But I really don't think that Dr. Mendoza would allow restaurants to be open if they were posing a risk in our community. They have not been shown to be a source of our clusters, to my knowledge. I think he would tell us if that was the case. So I just wanted to put a plug in for our restaurants and let people know that they are following guidelines. And if you are comfortable doing so, I would encourage people to patronize our independent restaurants.
Okay, Anna?
The question is, should restaurants be open or closed?
Well, no. I mean, I sounded like everybody wanted to jump in. I just want to make sure that we didn't miss a chance to kind of get you if you wanted to.
Yeah, no, I agree with Rachel all day long, and I always defer to, the experts on what's appropriate.
All right, so let me just wrap up with this. Andrew writes and says, he missed it earlier. Sounds like that there was more than $100 million in CARES money. Has all of the money been spent? I don't know what the total... this is a $15 million program, and you can find out more if you're a small business owner, monroecounty.gov/fastforwardmonroe. Your business may be eligible for between $10,000 and $20,000, and that money is going to show up before the end of the year. But you have to apply, and the deadline is November 2nd. Now, Andrew wants to know, what's the rest of the money been spent on? Annalise, I don't know that offhand. Do you?
Sure. So $129 million in CARES Act funds were allocated to Monroe County, and County Executive Adam Bellow has been very transparent the whole way through as to how he's been expending those funds. And he started out with PPE and distributing that PPE throughout the county to towns and villages and to small businesses, and along the way purchasing equipment for hospitals and healthcare systems. This $15 million piece is just one element of the total picture of how he's spending the money. And there is some remaining funds, and our finance department is working with Adam right now and other experts in county government and Dr. Mike Mendoza to identify how do we spend the final tranche of money. And some of that's going to be support to local municipalities.
Okay. Rachel Barnhart, you want to add to that too?
No, I think Anna just gave a really good description. And again, I just want to emphasize that this is coming at this time of year because it is needed.
We have to spend the funds by the end of the year, and we have funds left. And I think it's imperative that Congress pass another stimulus. I think this entire program has made it clear that there is dire need. And at a moment when governments are being forced into austerity, we have the greatest need. And so I'm very, very worried about the future and very hopeful that Congress will come up with a deal.
Yeah, 30 seconds, Anna. Let's close on that note there. I mean, we're talking about $10,000 to $20,000 to help small businesses. As Kristen Flores-Fratto has been telling us, that will help. But it won't be enough for some. And how important is it to you to see federal help for counties, states, cities to just deal with budget holes?
That's the number one concern right now. We're looking at a huge deficit next year. The state's talking about a 20% cut on funds to local governments in New York, and we have our eyes on our pocketbook here at county government. So another round of stimulus CARES Act funds would be very, very needed.
November 2nd is the deadline, and you've heard it from our guest this hour about the opportunity for small businesses to get some help and some relief in this community, at least for now, as we head for the winter. Anna Liss is the Director of Planning and Development for Monroe County. Anna, I know you and the team have a lot of work to do with this. Thanks for joining the show this afternoon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Evan.
You got it. Rachel Barnhart, Monroe County Legislator, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Kristen Flores-Fratto, owner of the Gatehouse. Good luck to you and all of your colleagues. I know we'll see you, whether it's outside, indoors, or more. Thanks for what you're doing, Kristen.
Thank you, Evan. I appreciate you having me.
You got it. Rob Braden, the engineer of Connections. Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.